message. It's called Buy Me a Boat. Early in our marriage, I told Jan there were a few things I would never buy. An RV, a motorcycle, and a boat. But I know that many of you that are watching right now, you have or currently do own one or all three of those things. And all I have to say to you is, well, bless your heart. You see, I did enough camping as a Boy Scout to know that camping wasn't for me. I think I was in fifth or sixth grade when I experienced my first two-night adventure of tent camping in the cold and snow, much like a day like today. The Boy Scouts actually called it the Winter Jamboree. Well, my mom had packed a large duffel bag to the brim, and when I picked it up, it seemed really heavy. So I emptied about half of its contents, throwing out all kinds of extra clothes and blankets. Well, when I woke up that first morning with my cold, wet feet sticking out of the tent, I realized it was going to be a long weekend. Now, a motorcycle. My first and only trip on a motorcycle was also when I was in upper grade school. The next door neighbor, he was a teenager and he had just gotten him a Honda. It was huge. It was loud. I think it had a 100,000 cc engine. Well, I got on the bike, and as soon as he took off revving that engine, I knew my life was coming to an end. And I have never touched a motorcycle since. And I guess a boat never interested me because I never learned to swim as a kid. Again, back to my days in Boy Scouts for another story. At least this one is during the week-long summer campout. It was at the beginning of the camp, the leaders had the boys line up on the dock of the lake. They wanted to test each kid to determine their skill level for swimming. Now, just to back up for a moment, I had not been in a pool for the past four summers. Each year I had tubes put in my ears and the doctor said I could not get into a pool. So, I just never learned how to swim. When I got to the front of the line to jump into the water, I tried to explain to the scoutmaster that I could not swim. But instead of giving me a pass on this potential merit badge, I was forced to jump into the water. So here I am, I'm scared to death of drowning. And out of fear of getting too far away, I just stiffened up and jumped in feet first, just inches from the dock. Next thing I know, my feet sunk down in the muck and mud of the lake bottom. I'm underwater. I'm holding my breath and I'm waving my hands above my head. One of the adults finally reached down and pulled me to safety. Now do you understand why I told Jan we would never be buying a boat? Yet the song I picked for today's teaching is actually titled, Buy Me a Boat. So, grab a life vest and get on board. Now, as a reminder, many of you have been watching or coming to services at the churches for the last several weeks, few months, as I've been doing these series of teaching, which I'm calling God and Country. I take the lyrics of a country song and develop a gospel or biblical message. And of course, I can't use just any country song. Most country songs are about driving, drinking, and divorce. They're about beer, bars, and breakups. So, not every country song is appropriate. Believe it or not, though, I can still use some that have absolutely no reference to God, to church, to faith, or the Bible, and still preach a gospel message. And that's the case today with the song, Buy Me a Boat. Now, since I've never bought a boat, I did some in-depth research to find the price of buying one. Actually, I just Googled the question, how much does a nice fishing boat cost? In a split second, the AI-generated answer popped up. Apparently, a brand new boat, fishing boat, can range from $25,000 to over $100,000, depending on the size, the brand, and the features. They did say a budget of around $30,000 to $40,000 is often sufficient for a respectable boat with accessories. Now, with all that said, to introduce this message, our featured song today, called Buy Me a Boat, is by Chris Jansen, which came out in 2015. And maybe you'll get a chance after this to listen to the song on YouTube, just so you can just hear it in completion. But here's how the lyrics of the song start. He says, I ain't rich, but I darn sure wanna be. Working like a dog all day ain't working for me. I wish I had a rich uncle that'd kick the bucket and I was sitting on a pile like Warren Buffett. Apparently, this guy wants to be rich, and at the same time, he doesn't want to work. Are any of the single ladies watching today curious about his phone number? I don't think so. Did you know that in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says this, those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Now, I'm going to add some implied words here. Those able to, but unwilling to work, will not get to eat. So, for this fella, instead of buying lottery tickets, he just wishes a family member he doesn't even know would have put him in his will and then dropped dead. The Bible advises against the love of money and the desire to be rich. It warns that this craving can lead to temptation, foolishness, and spiritual ruin. However, the Bible does not condemn wealth itself. Rather, it cautions against making riches a primary goal, or trusting in them, or using them, riches, wealth, to harm others. Instead, this is what the Bible says, instead of storing up earthly treasures, Christians are encouraged to store up heavenly treasures and be rich in other things like in good works, generosity, and always willing to share with others. The Bible has quite a bit to say about the love of money, which is often tied to greed, coveting, and misplaced priorities. Now, Scripture never calls money itself evil. It's a neutral tool. There's a Bible-based teaching from Dave Ramsey called Financial Peace University. I'd be curious if anybody's familiar with that or has ever taken part of that training. If so, you can make a comment or even text me personally. But Dave Ramsey uses an illustration to talk about this neutral tool, money. He illustrates it by using a brick. He says the brick is amoral, neither good or bad. It just depends on the hand that uses it. A person could use the brick to break a window and cause destruction. Or a person could use the brick in construction and build a house. Now, I want to pause just for a minute to actually give an advertisement for something that's going to happen later this summer. At the Caddis Friends Church, I will be doing a teaching using the Dave Ramsey content, and I'll be teaching on the Financial Peace University course. It is a 9-week course. You meet once a week for about an hour and a half, and you will learn about managing money, being a good steward through biblical principles. And one of the main features of this is not only learning how to use money, but also there's a strong focus on getting out of debt and then preparing for the future. So this will probably happen this summer. And when the time gets closer, I'll be announcing more on Facebook and show you where you can sign up online at the Dave Ramsey website to take this particular course at Caddis Friends. Now, if any of you think you might be interested in knowing more about how to manage your money biblically and how to get out of debt, how to prepare for your future, won't you just send me a message or even make a comment here on this website, this Facebook Live, if you want. And I want to be curious about how many might be interested in doing this. We have a large room where we could facilitate several couples or even singles for doing this. And just an FYI, to take the course, which again is all done online, registration as well as payment, it goes right to the Dave Ramsey Corporation. The church is not charging anything for me to do this. It's a $99 fee for the course. Well, back to our message. Again, Scripture never calls money itself evil. It's a neutral tool. It depends on the hand holding the money as to whether it's good or bad. But God's Word strongly warns against loving or idolizing it. That attitude leads to spiritual harm, dissatisfaction, and separation from God. The desire to be rich can cause people to fall into temptation and produce harmful desires that lead to destruction. You know, many people misquote the Bible, saying that money is the root of all evil. That's not true. Actually, it says the love of money is the root of evil. And in fact, let me read the verse to you. It comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Now, the context surrounding that verse, Paul actually is contrasting godliness with contentment as being great gain. He actually warns that those who want to get rich fall into temptation and ruin. And he urges believers to flee from these things and pursue righteousness instead. The love of riches can choke out spiritual growth. It creates an insatiable craving. Actually, the Bible, there's a verse for that too. It says this in Ecclesiastes 5:10. Those who love money will never have enough. Well, that highlights the pursuit of riches that leads to personal dissatisfaction, perpetual dissatisfaction. It's a concept that the book of Ecclesiastes calls meaningless. This passage warns us against greed, suggesting that increased wealth brings more demands and worries rather than true commitment, which ultimately comes from God, not possessions. So what exactly does the Bible say about wealth and riches? Well, first of all, wealth is not inherently evil. The Bible does not ever say that being wealthy is a sin. There are many biblical figures, in fact, who were wealthy, even extremely wealthy. Two examples of the extreme wealth of individuals in the Bible would be Job and Solomon. But the Bible instructs those who are rich to use their money wisely, not to be haughty or put their trust in uncertain riches. Instead, they should trust in God and be rich in good works, generosity, and sharing. Luke 12:15 is where Jesus says this: Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Now, it's right after this where Jesus then follows up with the parable of the rich fool. And I mentioned this a few sermons ago. It illustrates how life, a life that's focused on accumulating wealth, ends in spiritual poverty. And just as a reminder, the story went like this. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced bumper crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And then I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now, take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." Well, if you know the ending of that parable, it doesn't end well. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say we should eat, drink, and be merry, storing up all of our treasures here on earth. In fact, nowhere in the Bible does it say, make all you can all you make, and then sit on your can. But that's kind of what that rich fool thought. You see, Christians are called to be a faithful steward of the wealth God has entrusted to them. We are to consider what we have really as a loan from God. We're to focus on focus on eternal treasures. The Bible advises against storing up treasures on earth. Instead, it encourages storing up treasures in heaven. Now, let me get back to the lyrics, and I'll be reading quite a few of the lyrics at this point, maybe a little comment as I go. The lyrics. I know everybody says money can't buy happiness, but it could buy me a boat. It could buy me a truck to pull it. It could buy me a Yeti 110 iced down with some silver bullets. Just a point of clarification, these silver bullets don't refer to ammunition. The lyrics. They call me a redneck, white trash, and blue collar. But I could change all that if I had a couple $1 million. Yeah, I bet they'd just end up calling you a jerk. I keep hearing that money is the root of all evil. Well, there he just said it. He's not quoting the phrase correctly. And again, back to the lyrics. And you can't fit a camel through the eye of a needle. I'm sure that's probably true, he says. Yet another Bible verse misquoted out of context. And he says this, but it still sounds pretty cool, because it could buy me a boat to float down on the water with a beer. Now there's where those Coors silver bullets are showing up. And finally, he says, I hear the Powerball lotto is sitting on 100 mil. Well, that would buy me a brand new rod and reel, and it could buy me a boat. A rich dead uncle or a winning lottery ticket. That's his only plan for prosperity. Speaking of lotteries, the Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards states that nearly one-third of lottery winners declare bankruptcy within 3 to 5 years of their win. The reasons many winners end up broke include sudden wealth syndrome, where they're not prepared for to manage a massive amount of money and not prepared for the lifestyle change. Then there's overspending on extravagant purchases. They fall into bad investments and scams. And then there's the strained relationships, the pressure from family and friends for financial help can cause emotional pain and lead to giving too much of their money away. Finally, the song concludes like this. Yeah, and I know what they say. Money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so. But it could buy me a boat. Let me finish the message today with this. The consistent message of the Bible is that the love of money becomes a form of idolatry. Idolatry is putting something above God. The love of money leads to temptation, sin, relationship harm, and spiritual wandering. The love of money prevents true contentment, which comes from trusting God. And finally, the Bible says that the love of money contrasts with virtues like generosity, faith, and seeking God's kingdom first. Actually, Matthew 6:33 is where we find this verse. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That sounds like a pretty good financial plan right there. The Bible encourages, I'm just about finished here, the Bible encourages contentment, honest work, generous giving, and storing up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. Money can be used for good.
You have a text message.